Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of the Way of Truth Ministries and Way of Truth Baptist Missions. We're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way. We pray that the Word of God, as we talk about serving the Lord from the heart, might be a real blessing to you. If you do not know our blessed Lord as your personal Savior, may this be the hour, the moment, the day that you come to know Him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've given to us your Word. We know the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so, Lord, we wait upon Thee to take your Word as we deliver the Word of God, the message today, and you take it and apply it to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, that they might come to know Thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. We realize that over the internet, this program will reach around the world, and we know that in specific locations, there's stations that carry it, and even over into Africa, there are some that carry it. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will have your way and you will work in such a way that men and women, boys and girls, might come to know thee and then love thee and serve thee. And we'll thank you for the results in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Lord, I yield to His will. I lay down my sword.
Hope that was a blessing to your heart. We try to have quality music on here to prepare hearts for the message. Turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and this will be our launching pad right here, verse number 26. Actually, we're going to go through 28. That's our launching pad, and then we'll get into this subject of serving God from the heart. And we've already been talking about that in the past couple of broadcasts, and so we're picking up on that theme. Now, in verse 26, we have these words, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now you may wonder why I read verses 28 and 29, along with 27. Well, you go back to 26. I read 26 and then come into 27 and 8, and actually you could add 29. But 27 and 28, why did I read that along with verse 26? Well, I believe what you see here is this matter of serving from the heart. You see, the Lord was troubled because he knew he was going to go to that cross. He knew he was going to be separated from God for that period of time on the cross when he bore our sins in his body on that tree. He knew that God would not look upon him, but rather he was bearing our sin, and therefore God could not tolerate sin. And he allowed his Son, our Savior, to go to that cross and pay the price. And the price to Christ was the separation from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. You see, he wasn't separated when creation took place, for he created this world. Then he came into this world, and he was not separated from the Father, although he was not physically in heaven. He was here as a babe and then as a man. And for those some 33 years, he was here, but he was in communication with the Father all the time. God was always in his thoughts, in his action. And Christ said in John 17, "And I know thou hearest me." So when he prayed, he knew that God was hearing him. So he was not separated from God spiritually. He was separated from him physically, and yet God knew exactly where he was at, and Christ knew the Father. So what I'm sharing with you is the fact that in verses 27 and 28, Christ is going to have to bear our sin. He's going to have to bear the brunt of being separated from God for those 3 hours or so, that from noontime to 3 o'clock, the sky was darkened, and he bore our sin. And he faced the onslaught of the enemy. And the Bible says, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." And the fact that God could not look on him. But Jesus was concerned about that fellowship. He wanted that fellowship. He did not want any broken fellowship. Well, that is a picture of how your service and my service ought to be to the Lord. We ought to want him to guide and direct us, him to lead us in the paths that he wants us to go, him to carry out in our lives that which he desires. I want you to go back with me for a moment. You're familiar with this portion of scripture I'm going to read. It's in Joshua chapter 1. I want you to take a look. This is really what is being instructed to Joshua. Moses already in Deuteronomy has given this command to Joshua. Now God is going to give it directly to Joshua. And first of all, he reminds Joshua that you're going to have to lean upon me. Why? Moses, my servant, is dead. No longer will Moses give you the guidance. No longer will Moses be on that mountaintop holding up his hands if you're in battle. No, you're going to have to rely on me. You had Moses, and I, that was my plan, but now I have something else. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua needs to realize that God is now going to work through him. He will be the mouthpiece to Israel for God, and God through Joshua, as well as Eleazar the priest, will guide the nation of Israel. Now, here's what is said in verse number 5. Go about the middle of the verse. "And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So God is reminding Joshua that as you're serving me, I'm with you. I'll be there with you. I'll be by your side. I'll be guiding you. It's my hand that will lead you. Then verse 6 comes on. And this is something that Moses has said to Joshua back in Deuteronomy. And you need to get this into your heart and mind. For you and I, we need to do this. We need to be this way. He says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now God is going to fulfill that word that he gave to the nation of Israel. You recall, they were in the wilderness. They were 11 days from going into the promised land. The 10 spies came back and said, oh, we can't go in there. Those people are so big. Yes, it's a blessed land, but we can't go in there. God can't deliver us in there. We'll be swallowed up by the people. Why, we saw, the giants, and we're just like ants in their sight. They said in our sight. Well, you know, if you look in the mirror, that's what you're going to see, the image of whatever. And they were looking there, but we know that Joshua and Caleb came back and said, no, we can take them. That's God's given them. They're just like candy in our hand. We got it. Let's go and do it. And, of course, the people wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And so God said, okay, that's the way you want it. You're going to wander for 38 more years out here in the wilderness. You're going to complete 40 years. What's tragic is that Caleb and Joshua, who were ready to go that day into the promised land and claim their possessions, had to go and suffer with the crowd of Israel. They're going to get their possession. They're going to see their possession. They're going to live in their possession, but not until after they've wandered those same 38 years with the people of Israel, and all the people 20 years old and upward died. Now, Joshua has seen this. There have been funerals every day. There have many funerals. And so now God is saying to Joshua, now's the time you're going to go in. 40 years wasted. My friend, how many years have you wasted in not being faithful to the Lord, not doing what God wanted you to do? I've heard many stories, and, you know, they're tragic, where people say, well, you know, I know God called me. I remember one man, he's now with the Lord. But I remember him giving his testimony one time, and it was in a church that I at one time was a member of. He said, you know, he said, when I was a teenager, God called me into the ministry. And I decided I'd stay home and get a good job, and he did. And I would support missions and that. He said, here I am at the end of my life, and I failed my God. He said, I should have been on the mission field. God didn't want my money. He said, he wanted my life. And he said, I regret that day that I made that decision. You know, beloved, that's a sad time to regret that day. You know, it happened in Israel. A number of the Israelites decided they would go up into the land after God said, no, you're going to wander for 40 years, or actually 38 from that moment when they refused to go into the land. They said, we're going to go up. And Moses said, you may as well not. God's not going to be with you. They went anyhow, and the enemy came out against them, and many of them died in. And, of course, it was God's way of saying, no. No, you refused what I wanted to give you. My friend, that may be the story of some mothers that are listening to me right now. You know, we can plan and reason out things. God is looking for people who want to just surrender to him. Now, notice Joshua, first of all, in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. These are the people that have grown up, and so now if they were under 20, let's just say they were 20, now the oldest is 38 besides Joshua and Caleb and Eliezer. The oldest is 38, and now God is going to see their land is divided to them once they cross the Jordan. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And, you know, that just reminds me of what is said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that there, well, and 8 really, is where you, now you've heard it, now do it. And so that's exactly what God's telling Joshua. Now, verse 9, I want to jump down there. We could read verse 8, and he's talking about the book of the law shall not depart out of his mouth, and so forth. Verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want you to move into that land, Joshua. I want you to take these people. You see, Joshua had a heart, as well as Caleb, to follow the Lord. He was ready 38 years ago to follow the Lord into that land. And Israel, the people, refused to go. And so, consequently, Caleb and Joshua could not go into that land because God had withheld that land from them, not because of their sin, but the sin of the people of Israel. And Joshua and Caleb are going to show a testimony for 38 years of faithfully serving the Lord, not mumbling and grumbling. They're going to go out and serve the Lord where they're at. Are you willing to do that? That's what is meant here in chapter 12 of John and verse 26, looking down through verse 28. We're going to listen to another song, and then we'll continue on with these thoughts.
We must fight from day to day. Will you stand for truth and clearly point the way? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. He gives strength. We need to run the race of life. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given supplies our every need. So be strong in the name of the Lord your God, trusting in his strength alone. Yes, be strong in the name of the Lord your God, for the victory has been won. Though the battle lines are drawn, we will faithfully press on, for there's power in God's Son. Be strong. When your heart is heavy and you seek release, give your burdens to the one who can give peace. As you live by faith and seek to do what's right, simply follow him and press on with the fight. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given everything. So have confidence, for there's strength within the one who supplies our every need. So be strong in the name of the Lord your God. Be strong in the name of the Lord your God, for the victory has been won. Though the battle lines are drawn, we will faithfully press on, for there's power in God's Son. Be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the
Amen. Be strong in the Lord. You know, we started off with that standing firm, being committed to the ministry that God has given you. Well, here, be strong in it, because there are battles that you're going to have to face and I'm going to have to face and have faced. There are battles where we'd like to quit. We'd like to give up. But we cannot give up. We must keep on. Go with me back to the book of 1 Kings for a moment and look at chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we will look at, Well, we'll look at verse 9. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Now, you're familiar with this. This is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the tabernacle that he has built. And notice he is asking God for a understanding heart. You know, beloved, I believe that's a thing in ministry, to understand. I know many times I prayed a prayer very similar to that. When I, as a pastor, I've done that here as directing of Way of Truth Ministries. Give me an understanding heart to understand, and especially so when I think of our national pastors. You know, there are so many things in their culture. There are so many things that they do not understand as we understand. Not that they're wrong and we're right, but the fact that we need to understand that it is not as easy for them to grab a hold of what we're saying. They may know the English word. I remember one of our missionaries said this to me one day. He said, Brother Feinmelder, said, what you don't understand is we know what the word is that you're saying, but we don't know what it means. Think about that. They know what the word is insofar as saying the word, but what does it mean? In their thinking, it could have easily have meant something totally different. So what Solomon is saying, give me an understanding heart. So if we're going to serve God from our heart, we need to ask God to give us an understanding heart that we might be able, and judge isn't judging them right or wrong as such, but it's understanding how to lead them and guide them and direct them so that they might accomplish that will, that purpose that God has for them. Go with me over to chapter 4 and look at verse 29 for a moment. Notice this. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon prayed in chapter 3, and he prayed from a sincere heart, not to get anything, but rather that that he might have this understanding heart, that he might have the wisdom to guide those people. No wonder the book of Proverbs is so filled with the matter of wisdom. You know, I think any leader, any counting from pastor to manage, to bosses in factories and all of that, especially those who are Christian. Now, even unchristians could read the book of Proverbs and prosper very greatly from it because of the lecture or the teaching that Solomon gave to his sons. Listen, this was the king of Israel. This is a man that God called into a position of service. And now he's telling his boys, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to live, how you need to act. I urge you, if you're leading anybody, any group of people, if you're leading the Boy Scouts, you're leading a Girl Scouts, whatever you're doing, read the book of Proverbs. You read one chapter a day, you can get through it in a month. But I'll tell you what, if you do that for a year, you're going to find God is going to open your mind and understanding to a lot of things of human nature and people, how you can deal with them so they might be faithful servants to the Lord. So God granted Solomon his desire. God gave it to him. Now let's consider a couple of things here when we talk about working for the Lord. I want to go back to the book, to the New Testament now, and look at the book of Colossians for a moment. We're going to be back and forth in different books. We're going to be here, going to go back to the Psalms after a bit. But I want you to see something here in Colossians chapter 3. I think Colossians, Ephesians might be my favorite book to study, but Colossians is right on the heels of that. It's just so many blessed things. And I'll tell you what, we could expound on this chapter 3, and we'd be on here for the next month and more. It's that kind of a blessed thing. But we're talking about a particular thing now. We're talking about serving the Lord. And if we're going to serve the Lord effectively, first of all, as we gave you out of Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage, and the word of God should not depart out of our mouths. Verse 8. But now look what he says here in Colossians 3 and verse 22. Now put yourself in this word, servants. It doesn't mean slaves. It means people who are serving. What is a Christian to be? A servant. Not only do we talk about the deacon being a servant, but we are servants of the Most High God. He may put you in as a pastor. He may guide you and let you become a boss or a manager or something in vocation. Whatever the case is, God, we are servants of the Lord. And in whatever capacity he puts us, we are to be servants of his first, and then of the company, business, what have you. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, so somebody else will see it, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Then he goes on in verse 23 and says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. You know what? We're supposed to give out 100% of our energy. We're to work and be faithful to the Lord. Now, there's no question. If we're working in wherever we're at, that should be compensated. The management should pay properly. But it doesn't make any difference how they do it. You and I have a responsibility. Giving 100% to that which we are committed to, that which we are given as a job, you might say. So he says, servants, obey in all things. Now, he's not suggesting there something that is wrong, cheating. And I remember years ago, I don't think it's on there now, but on the income tax form, it said money you got from embezzlement. Well, it's not right to embezzle, so if they tell you to embezzle, no, you can't do that. It's a matter of serving the Lord, honoring the Lord in whatever service I am doing, but we're to be that 100% committed to the Lord, and then serving the Lord through whatever vocation he puts us in. Dear friend, we're going to continue on with this next week, and I trust that you'll be with us. Let us be faithful, serving the Lord from our hearts. Father, speak to hearts. Save souls. Lord, may somebody come to know thee as their personal Savior and use us for thy glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. If we might be able to help you, dear friend, you might send us a snail mail. You can send it to us at Message of Truth at 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, and that's 16602 USA. Or you can contact us at email at wot@wotbm.org. God bless you, my friend. We'll see you next week.